Sports Radio 610 is once again proud to partner with the Houston Sports Awards, which are February 6th when the top athletes, coaches, and GMs in town will be honored. They are selling a golden ticket, which is basically a ticket to all Astros, Rockets, Dynamo home games, plus two Texans home games next year.
What?
The way to win is you buy the golden ticket for $100. 500 tickets are available, and I'm sure less now. The way to buy it for $100 is HoustonSportsAwards.com.
That's exciting.
That is exciting.
If I get to pick one of those, I'll be out in the crowd doing out and about the way I was last year.
Yes, I'll be there as well. I look forward to it.
Did you already say that?
No. Are they going to have you doing skits?
They'll have me talking to various people. I've already talked to Patty Smith about, like, I think it got a little awkward between me and the Texans table last year.
You think so?
I think it was a little awkward.
I think that may just be you.
Well, it was a weird situation. I had never met Brian Gain before, and I kind of like they had it set up, so I was kind of begging Bill O'Brien for a job, and it was that part was fun. I just don't the timing was a little bit off, so the camera stayed on those guys a lot longer, like without them having anything to do. I felt bad for Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain.
I mean, it's tough to make those things work and be humorous and be timely and short and concise.
I did. Cal McNair made a funny joke though. He fired me. Like I made some comment about
how
you can't fire me anymore. And like Cal McNair was kind of like, yeah, I can get you fired.
Time now. Speaking of that, time now for the meltdown on a Wednesday.
We did accomplish a lot. It wasn't a great year because greatness is championship, but it was a year that we went from 4-12 from 0-3, so really 4-15 to 11-5, and I think that says a lot about the direction that we're headed, and now we have to build on it. We've got to build on it and learn from our mistakes and continue to try to get better.
I'm still bothered by O'Brien taking credit for the losses last year from a standpoint of being able to bounce back, quote-unquote, from 4-15, when if Deshaun hadn't gone down last season, they would have won at least, to me, 7 or 8 games. But really, the reason I bring this up is I think people are assuming way too much about O'Brien's status moving forward. I know that he has a 4-year contract, and nobody wants to, if you're an NFL owner, you don't want to, you know, fire coaches willy-nilly and have to pay them out and pay their staffs and all that. But when you have a franchise quarterback, which the Texans do, anytime you have a bad season or an underachieving year, there's always pressure. Like, I think people assume way too much about things. I don't know that going into 2013, we were all thinking, boy, Gary Kubiak could be fired. But once things start to go really haywire and really wrong, whenever you have expectations in the NFL and you have a quarterback like the Texans do, if something goes wrong or you have a bad season, everybody's job, to me, is on the line.
Yeah, and I guess it's a cost of doing business. You always have to remember, you could say, well, that coach's contract is guaranteed. Like, all right, yeah, but by the time you fire a coach who's a year or two into his contract, you're talking about paying out $10, $12 million. If he gets a job somewhere else, some of that's going to be relieved.
Which O'Brien probably would.
Right? Which is like, in the NFL, teams carry way more dead money than that every year. So it's not as prohibitive as you might think. And I do think, too, I'm curious moving forward. I know McClain claims that there will be no difference between Bob McNair running the show and Cal McNair running the show. I think without saying whether it would be good or bad if it was different, I think it's impossible to say that it won't be different in some ways. They're two different people.
It's literally impossible.
Yeah.
Cal McNair obviously has had no decisions to make so far. I mean, he takes over ownership of the team at the Tennessee game. It's the middle of the season, towards the end. There's no decisions to be made.
Yeah.
Now there might be some decisions to be made. I mean, obviously it's mostly draft, free agency, who you retain, all that, and that's on the GM. But I don't think you can assume anything about anybody in a new job until they actually start making decisions or not making decisions, right?
If you put yourself in Cal McNair's shoes, it's been interesting. And Cal and Bob had a very close relationship as fathers and sons go. I think even guys that are in business together, you know, they were like in like almost literal lockstep. Like they'd walk out to the field together wearing the same outfits a lot of time. Like they were very close. They played golf together all the time. They had a very close relationship. But Cal's had a long time to think about, like, okay, how am I going to run this? When I'm doing this, isn't like Mark Davis, who all of a sudden got thrown into it in the middle of everything. You know, like Mark Davis, I don't know what the hell Mark Davis was doing. I get the sense he was like playing video games and stuff until all of a sudden his dad died and he got thrust back into the mix. I think Cal's got a pretty good plan, and he's had input into a lot of decisions, and I'm sure he's influenced a lot of the decisions, but now he's on his own. And I just wonder if maybe Bob, who made his fortune in the energy business and had kind of put his imprint on the world already before he even bought the Texans. I think sometimes he had a more philosophical view of things and like maybe like what the team represented to the city and how it was his way of giving back in some ways. Where Cal hasn't necessarily made his mark on the world yet the same way his dad did. And does that make him more cutthroat? Does it make him more aggressive? Does it make him more hungry, perhaps, as an owner? I don't know. I have no clue, but it might be different.
Well, I think at first you typically copy what was done before you, right? Yeah. Isn't that the conventional way to go about things?
I don't know if
there's
a conventional way.
I
think a lot of sons step in and change everything completely.
Do we feel... Well, I guess what I'm asking is the successor here, is this a person who has just stepped into it after being completely removed from everything, or is it someone who's been a part of everything? And it is someone who's been a part of everything.
It's been the second.
So since it's someone who's been a part of everything, I'm assuming that there already is a status quo, a routine that he would carry forward, at least in the short term. Now, in the long term, I have no idea.
Well, think about that, though. Like, put yourself again in the situation. Like, you might, like, say you're working for your dad and you love your dad, but there's a bunch of stuff going on with this business that you would definitely do different. And you're like, oh boy, man, if I had to do it my way. Like, so I think sometimes change. Like, and Jim Irsay is a much, much different guy than Bob Irsay was.
That's true, but given the way things have been for, I'm assuming, longer than a year here with Bob McNair's health and all of that, I'm guessing Cal has already taken the reins in a way that...
I could see that.
...or means he's pretty firmly along the path of where he thinks he's going. Now... He might change it up after finding some early failures or something along those lines. But I think for now, I think that he is going to carry on in somewhat the same way as his father until there's some big sort of catastrophe that makes him maybe look in the mirror and say, I got to change the way I do things.
Losing big, if you have a team that goes through a rough stretch, then all of a sudden there's way more pressure. Or thing like the big organizational decisions. Like, for example, I think the Jadeveon Clowney decision is a big enough choice to where I think that's one where you have to go to the owner and you have to get to me. I don't know if this is a fact, but from the outside looking at it, the Clowney decision, contract, franchise tag, whatever, is a big enough decision to where Cal McNair has to sign off on whatever's happening.
Right.
So theoretically, he could tell Brian Gainer and O'Brien, hey, listen, I want Clowney back, get a deal done. And we don't know if that's going to happen or not until we see what happens in the next couple months.
And I don't want to paint it out like Bob McNair was extremely conservative, because if anything, over the last several years, we saw him get pretty aggressive. Like, the Brock Osweiler signing was a huge mistake, but that was at the behest of the owner saying, go out and get a quarterback this year.
Why he gave Rick Smith an extension right after.
Right.
I'm assuming.
And that was the cool thing about Bob McNair in that element. I don't think he... Well, no, Mike, you've got to give Bob McNair credit for that, because... Bob McNair, a lot of owners, like, think of an impetuous owner that's like that doesn't have any self-awareness, might say go out and get a quarterback and then not realize how hard that actually is to do. He kind of said go out and get a quarterback, fully understanding that it's hard to go out in one given year and get a quarterback. So when it failed, they got out of it quickly, and there wasn't like people were punished for doing what the owner asked.
That's fair.
I think a lot of egomaniacal owners would have said, like, go get me a quarterback, which is impossible to do, like, on the drop of a hat. And then when it didn't work out, would have blamed Rick Smith or Bill O'Brien. Like, I'll give Bob McNair a lot of credit for that.